Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, you're about to listen to Chapter 13 from Antoine's book, T.J. Young and the Orishas.
Chapter 13. Welcome to Camp Alosa. A few twists and turns through the bayou later, and TJ remembered how much he hated first days. In all his excitement, after staring down a giant alligator, he had forgotten how many other campers there could be. In the 5 minutes it took for Mom to argue the taxi fare with their driver, "What do you mean it's extra because of the giant alligator?" TJ counted at least 36 other campers on the rickety dock they had arrived on. There were even more farther along the muddy path where stacks of cabins could be seen through pockets of trees. Some of the campers held their heads low, and like him, their hands fidgeted as they watched the others skip and smile, ready for another summer. A pair of tall boys even greeted each other with a personalized handshake and dap that involved a floating set of leaves swirling around their arms, capitalized with fire, manifested from their mouths like dragons.
"Levant? Jamoy? No magic until you're on the ground,"
shouted a thin woman in an all-white dashiki, who TJ assumed was a counselor. The boys turned to her in protest, gesturing their hands down at the dock.
"Ah, come on," one of them said with a Nigerian accent. "How is this not technically on campgrounds?"
Manuela was among the excited group of campers. The moment she and TJ anchored near the camp's lopsided deck, she had bolted for her friends, two albino girls who looked like they could be twins. Their blue and white trimmed dashiki, which had been the standard for all campers, contrasted nicely with their braided auburn hair. TJ blew out a long breath. It would have been difficult to talk to Manuela alone at that moment. The rate of her speech exploded as she and her friends caught up with one another. Heck, she didn't look like she'd stop talking until tomorrow.
"And then, this boy on the boat made old Sally go away,"
TJ caught her saying just before all three girls turned to him. He shifted his gaze quickly, forcing his hand to stop zipping and unzipping his jacket nervously. They'd be looking at him and he needed to appear as cool as possible. Problem was, he wasn't exactly sure how to do that. Did he cross his arms? Put his hands in his pocket? And which pockets? His jacket pocket? His front pockets? His back pocket? He finally decided on interlacing his fingers and setting his hands at his stomach. He regretted the moment he did it. He probably looked like some pretentious dork. The twins giggled that familiar giggle he knew all too well from the blacktop at school. Taking his mind off the girls and forcing himself not to give them sidelong glances, his new gaze settled on the camp's entrance. Two long poles stuck in the ground at a slant that held up a splintered sign that read, "Camp Alosa." Vines and moss covered the O's, making them look like eyebrows, with the L looking like a nose. TJ wondered if that was intentional. Then he wondered if the O's really were eyes and if the sign would start talking to him like the tree man off the highway or the reporter from his backyard.
"Girls will check in to the left, boys to the right,"
roared another woman at the end of the dock. It looked like there were rocks stuck under her large arms. She must have been strong. She was also the tallest woman TJ had ever seen. She wasn't just fit in the typical mid-30s athletic way. She looked more like some Dora Milaje warrior towering over a wooden table next to several other counselors. Like the others,
She too wore an all-white dashiki with black trim. Through the sea of campers who already wore their blue and white dashikis, interspersed with others like TJ and Manuela, who still wore their street clothes, it looked like the counselors were tiny moons directing a sea of blue down the camp swamp paths of brown and green. Manuela and her friends peeled off to the left side of the dock, where it spread into a thick and solid mud path where they could find their land legs. TJ watched them as they went. He half hoped they were still talking about him. He thought he did a decent enough job impressing Manuela, but she seemed to forget about him completely.
Look, Mr. Martinez here went and paid the little extra. It's only fair,
TJ overheard the cab driver say to Mom. Mom had a single hand on her hip, her head canted and her lips pursed. That meant bad news for the driver.
Oh, no,
she raised her voice. You got me twisted if you think you're finna. TJ didn't stick around to hear the rest of what she said as he shouldered between a family to avoid being associated with one of Mom's infamous eruptions. He didn't stop until at least a dozen other boy campers were between him and the dock, where he found himself between a father who wore a faded camp dashiki and his young son who refused to put on his own. The little boy held back watery eyes, each of his sniffles fighting against an outburst. TJ knew that face all too well. He could almost hear one of his own parents saying,
You better fix that face before I really give you something to cry about.
Another camper TJ's age shook his head, tilting down his designer sunglasses to the bridge of his nose like he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Then he rolled his eyes and took his space in line again. What's he need shades for in a swamp? TJ thought as he looked up through the canopy of trees backdropped by an overcast sky. Everything about the boy spoke of money. His fade was clean, TJ had to admit. He had braids rolled into a top knot, and TJ assumed his name was Ayo, since it was cut into the side of his taper. The boy wore silver bracelets, two gold chains, and a designer t-shirt he could have easily bought from a department store. But since it had a little designer logo near the chest, it probably cost four times as much. His fresh sneakers were nice too, but the high-end skinny jeans were not doing his lumpy calves any favors. In fact, he didn't seem to care at all about the muffin top protruding from under his t-shirt line. In short, the kid was TJ's least favorite kind of person. Leaning down on a knee, TJ whispered to the little sniffling boy, Hey, little dude, don't worry about it. The boy turned, his loose afro curls heaving as he did his best to stop himself from weeping. What's your name?
Gary,
he mumbled. I'm TJ. This your first time? Gary nodded. Me too. But I bet you're way better than me. I couldn't even fill a cup with water until a week ago. It was the truth. But the boy didn't need to know that. Really? That's so easy, Gary said with a bit more volume, side-eyeing his father. TJ gave him a slight smirk and crossed his arms. Is it? Could you teach me how to do it better? Again, the boy stared up at his father. The thick-eyebrowed man gave his son an approving wink. Wiping his nose, Gary muttered the ritual phrase just as Mom had always done. Instead of waving his fingers, though, he swayed his arms like he was wading through a shallow river. Dad says this is the wrong way to do it. The boy stuck his tongue out in concentration. But it works for me. After only a few moments, water sprinkled from the tips of Gary's fingers like a tiny fountain. TJ gave him a short applause and a smile. The boy giggled and started spraying his father. A few droplets fell on the man's old camp shirt before he waved his hands in the air, producing a wind wall that protected him from his son's super soaker fingers. How about you? Gary asked. You try. TJ shook a hand in front of his face. No, I'll just embarrass myself. Come on, show me. TJ took in a big sigh and said, Well, you asked for it. After a few grunts and shakes that made it look like TJ was having a fit of shivers, only a single spout of water shot from his thumb. Gary tittered through his knuckles. You're right. I am way better. Right, TJ said, doing his best to play along. That was, after all, really his best effort. Gary's father tapped TJ at the shoulder and murmured a thank you in his ear. At least the pair of them thought he was being nice. That was a lot better than looks of disappointment and raised eyebrows.
Don't worry. You'll do better, came Mom's voice from behind.
TJ jumped, then hung his head low.
You weren't supposed to see any of that. This is what the camp is for, eh?
Mom reminded him as she handed him his baseball bag. His eyes went wide as he clutched at its straps. How could he almost forget to bring it with him? No wonder his water manifestation sucked so hard. He needed his sister's staff close by.
Listen, Mom continued. I've got to check in with the director about a few things. Will you be okay checking in by yourself? I'll meet you at your cabin.
Yeah, I'm good, TJ said. Mom brought her hand to TJ's cheek.
Oh, my little man. Growing up.
Mom,
I'm so proud of you. You know that?
Mom. She cupped his chin and started kissing him on the cheeks. TJ stiffened, hoping none of the others saw his mother giving her teenage son a kiss like she was seeing him off to preschool. Manuela was just down the path. If she took just a second to look over, she would...
Mom!
TJ gritted without shouting.
Oh, hush. I never get to kiss you anymore. And you choose now as the best time to start?
Despite her previous need to see the director, Mom wouldn't let him go.
Do you have your toothbrush? Dashiki. Towel. Remember, the basic healing incantation is said with an intonation. You need to change tone like with the other... Mom!
I'm fine, TJ cut in. For real.
Okay, I'm going, she said quickly,
then shuffled between the girls and boys line to the front. When she passed by Manuela, she waved over to TJ, then threw up an A-OK hand gesture.
How did she know so fast?
TJ rolled his eyes but couldn't help chuckling at Mom's giddiness. He knew he should cherish the moment. If the best magic he could do was a single water jet from his thumb, these semi-prideful moments with her would become far fewer.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.